coming up on this episode of the MD and Chef Team Show.
If you're somebody who's drinking a lot of caffeine, just understand that coffee and teas, caffeinated teas, coffee, caffeinated drinks, you know, all those sugary energy drinks, that's not water. That's not hydration.
No.
I mean, you might see water in the ingredient list, but it's way at the bottom. It's not much there.
I know. People are so cheeky.
Yeah.
They go, oh, but I drink tea. And I'm like, what kind of tea? And it's usually a black caffeinated tea. Yeah. I'm like, no, because that's just going to make you urinate because it's a diuretic. Yeah.
Welcome to the show from the MD and Chef Team. I'm Dr. Isabel, medical doctor here at the MD and Chef Team. And who are you?
And I'm Chef Michael, culinary nutrition expert. I'm the chef part of the team.
And what are we going to talk about, babe? Now, I can say that because he's my husband.
Yes. Well, then we'll be talking about marriage, relationships, parenting, intimacy.
Ooh.
We'll talk about mindsets of success, overcoming depression, anxiety. I'll be getting into functional nutrition, recipes and tips from the kitchen. And we're going to both get into how to live a long, healthy, vibrant life.
Yes, I love it. Our mission is to help you prevent and reverse disease and give you hope in the process. Oh, yeah, we like to have fun, too. So let's get on with the show.
Hello, and welcome to the MD and Chef Team Show and podcast. How are you today? Hopefully it's a good day wherever you are. And if not, well, then we wish you the best. And hopefully we serve you well in this podcast.
Welcome, everybody. Thank you for being here.
And so today, my dear.
Yes.
By the way, I can say my dear because that's my beautiful wife. Of what are we up to now?
Long time. 43 years.
43 beautiful years. We just celebrated that 43rd wedding anniversary recently. So
and we have 37 more to go.
43 years of being together.
Yeah.
Very amazing.
Years. Yeah.
Yes. Yes. So, and that's your Dr. Isabel. Mm-hmm. So today I want to talk about five daily habits for optimal brain health. Now, these are just some snackable bites that you can take away. There's more, of course, but these are five.
There's a cupboard full.
Yeah, there's a cupboard
of
full.
More.
Yeah. But these are five daily habits that people can implement right away, which will serve them well for the help their brain health out. All righty. So what do you say?
All right.
Get into it.
Yeah, let's go. Take a deep dive. Ready?
So number one, I want to talk about hydration and why hydration is so important for brain health. Because I personally feel that a lot of times when we talk some of these areas, these action steps we're going to talk about in these habits, we've heard before, but we think about them from the neck down. We don't necessarily relate them to how they affect our brain and our brain health. And the biggie to understand is, guess what? That brain, how much does the brain weigh, have you said?
It's in 70% water.
Yeah, but how much does the
brain weigh? Oh, how much does the brain weigh?
Yeah.
The brain weighs in kilograms, 1.6 kgs and about 3 pounds.
Yes. So that 1.5 kgs or 3 pounds runs the whole show.
Runs the whole show.
I mean, if it's not functioning well, the whole show kind of falls apart, basically.
Yeah.
So that's why it's so important. So these steps that we're talking about for optimal brain health, just understand that it's not just for the neck down. It's what controls it all and makes it all work optimally, meaning it's fuel efficient. It is running well and making everything go very well. Mm-hmm. So number one, hydration.
And the show is a wonderful show. But when we're not taking good care of our brain health, the show is not good.
It's a mess.
It's a mess.
It's a mess.
As we see out there.
Yes.
Yeah.
So can you give us a little, some of the highlights of why hydration is so important for brain health?
Well, because your brain is 70% water. Mm. It's fat, you know, it's 1.6 kgs of fat, but it needs 70% of it is water.
Yeah.
So if you don't have water, what happens?
You wilt.
Yeah.
Look at a flower that doesn't get watered.
Right. And the brain wilts also, and it starts getting headaches and migraines, and it just gets worse.
Right. You get fogginess and
it's just not working.
Yeah. And poor decision making. If you're somebody that's out there, well, we're all making decisions every day, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I always like to explain it to our patients, our clients, that think of yourself like a sunflower. And when the sunflower doesn't have water, what happens? It starts wilting and starts hanging over it. It starts getting tired. But when you water it, you're like, boom.
Yeah. Hey, look at me.
Yeah. And you're a bright, beautiful sunflower in this world. Yes. And so that's the importance of water. And when we're drinking water, there's a calculation. If this is a disclaimer, if you don't have any kidney or heart problems, if you have a kidney problem or a heart problem, please talk to your doctor to get the correct amount. But in general, people need about 30 mils of water per kg.
Of body weight.
Per body weight. Or if you're working in ounces and pounds, then it's 1 ounce per pound.
Okay. Yeah.
Throughout the day, not all at once. And I always recommend breaking it up into quarters. Because if you drink all that water at the end of the day, because you're behind, you're like, holy moly, I forgot all that water. Then you can actually dilute all the chemicals in your brain and start having seizures. Ooh, so don't do that.
No, yeah, don't just do it all in one shot.
No, don't do that. Break it up into quarters.
And so that's kind of a baseline, really. Yeah, once you do those calculations, that's a person's baseline for the day. And then understanding, of course, if you're having some doing a lot of workout or maybe doing a lot of work outside or chores, you need to add a little extra. Or if you're somebody who's drinking a lot of caffeine, just understand that coffee and teas, caffeinated teas, coffee, caffeinated drinks, you know, all those sugary energy drinks. That's not water. That's not hydration.
No.
I mean, you might see water in the ingredient list, but it's way at the bottom. It's not much there.
I know. People are so cheeky.
Yeah.
They go, oh, but I drink tea. And I'm like, what kind of tea? And it's usually a black caffeinated black tea.
Yeah.
I'm like, no, because that's just going to make you urinate because it's a diuretic. Yeah. If you want to drink your caffeinated drinks, then it's, but not energy drinks or sugary drinks. That's not good. That'll just dehydrate you.
Yeah, because I've got a green tea right now.
Yeah. And so which has caffeine, the amount of a cup of coffee.
Yeah.
But when you're drinking caffeinated drinks, then just note in your brain that you have to add 2 more cups of water.
Yep. Got to drink more.
Yeah.
If you're drinking coffee, then you need to be drinking more water.
Right. 2 more glasses.
Yeah. So you start with your baseline and then just understand you may need to add more to that depending on what you're doing. Lifestyle wise during the day.
Right.
Yeah. So important to keep the brain going and having it functioning well. So our memory is working well.
Mm-hmm.
All the different things we use our brain for, basically everything.
Everything.
I know. It's crazy when you think about it.
Decision making, focus, productivity.
Yes. Yes.
Memory.
Yes.
Everything.
And I notice a lot of times because you and I go meet with people, not just on Zoom, but we meet with people at offices and have business meetings and that. And one of the things we kind of are, shall I say, we're careful with is booking an appointment with somebody after lunchtime. Like at 1, 2 o'clock.
Which, by the way, we do this week.
Yeah.
I know, but I had to do that.
And the reason why we're careful, which I want to explain, is because we found so many times in the past where we have these 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock meetings with people, they're not even really there.
They're
in a fog because two things usually. One is because of their nutritional part, and we'll get into this in a moment. The nutrition they've had at lunch is not conducive to staying alert and functioning well.
Mm-hmm.
They're crashing.
Right.
And the other is they probably haven't hydrated well all day long. And they're also crashing because they've had so much caffeine and sugar during the day that they're just kind of going, you know, boom.
Yeah.
And they're not hydrating properly. So the brain is just not functioning well. And then like, oh, I don't know why I'm so tired. I don't know why I'm feeling so foggy and lethargic. And well, there's a couple of reasons here.
Right, right.
Yeah.
And most people are eating dead food.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not live. Kapow kind of food, energetic food. The other day I was at a place and one of the nurses said, oh, Isabel would never eat creamed rice. And I said, heck no, I would never put dead food in my body. Why would I do that? Yeah. It's not going to give me any life. So.
And was that out of a can?
That was a can. That was a can. They've got canned creamed rice. And I'm sure it's delicious, but there's
Delicious. It's very all the sugar. Yeah, it'll be delicious. The taste buds will go, ooh, yeah.
And cinnamon and nutmeg in it. But she was correct. Yeah, she knows I don't eat dead food.
Yes. Okay. Well, let's jump into this one then. So that was our daily habit for optimal health. Number one, hydration, proper hydration. Number two, well, let's jump into the nutritional side.
Nutrition?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because, you know, we kind of touched on it there a little bit and understanding that, again, it's not from the neck down, that nutrition, proper nutrition can give us great brain health. Mm-hmm. Poor nutrition causes a lot of problems with the brain.
Yes.
And so let's talk about a little bit about proper nutrition for the brain.
Right. The latest research from Dr. Dale Bredesen that has come out in his most up-to-date papers, plus his book, The End of Alzheimer's, which nobody who wants to get Alzheimer's, right?
Right.
Well, we don't have to get Alzheimer's. We can actually prevent that. And the research shows that a plant-based KetoFlex 12-3 diet is the best for our cognition.
Yes.
And I'm going to let you unpack that.
Okay.
What a plant-based KetoFlex 12-3 diet is, because the research is out. We don't have to have fogginess. We know what to do now.
Yes.
We've been trained.
Yes. Well, let me unpack that.
Unpack it, Jeff.
So a couple different words there is, one is, now when we talk about, when we say the word diet, I want to infuse the word lifestyle.
I love the word infuse.
Because that's actually what diet in the original Greek term meant, was lifestyle. But we kind of think as a diet is something we crash diet. We go on this for 30 days and lose weight so we can get in that dress or that suit or look good for the beach or look good to go to the wedding or something. But it's actually supposed to mean lifestyle.
Right.
So when we're talking about this, this is a lifestyle of nutritional eating that serves us well long-term for the rest of our life.
Forever.
Yeah. And so when we talk about nutrient-dense foods, we're talking about leafy greens, lots of salad greens, lots of vegetables. And then from there, you're looking at what's talked about KetoFlex, means it's flexible as far as what your proteins are you using, what are your fats, because some people can have saturated fats. Some people can't have any, some can have a little, so you have to look at that. But it's flexible. It's a ketogenic flexible, because most people have heard of ketogenic, but this isn't just straight out ketogenic, because you can
bacon and cheese. Right, and
you can just eat a lot of meat and cheese and say, hey, I'm ketogenic.
That's not healthy.
But that's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about a mildly ketogenic, mostly plant-based, flexible, and that's why it's KetoFlex, because it's flexible, meaning what the proteins you're having, what are the fats you're having, they're individualized for you personally. You could be a vegan, a vegetarian, and eat like this and healthy and well. Okay, just making sure that you're getting the right types of proteins and fats in there incorporated into your eating. And then 12-3 means a minimum overnight of 12 hours of fasting. Mm-hmm. Meaning, let's say your last meal of the day was 7 p.m. and it's at least 7 a.m. the next day before you have another meal.
Right.
Now, you find that most people will fit into maybe a 12 to 14 hour overnight fast, mm-hmm, or a 14 to 16 overnight fast. And again, that's kind of personalized, and you'd have to learn how to get personalized, and which what we do is, mm-hmm, we help coach people to make sure that they're personalized for what's correct for them.
Right.
For you and I, it's around a 14 hour overnight fast is just sweet spot for us.
For us, yeah.
Around that.
Because of our genetics too.
Yes. Yeah. And the three, when you say 12-3-3 means no eating 3 hours before bedtime.
That is tricky.
That's probably the trickiest one for me too.
Yeah.
However, once you get in the habit of it, it's okay, that's just what you do. And why? Because we really need to give our body sleep,
right,
and our brain sleep. overnight is supposed to be rest. Why is it called rest? Because it's rest. It's not just called rest. It's rest so our body organs can rest. The whole function of our body needs this opportunity to just settle down, not be processing.
Exactly. Which takes energy and work.
And it takes work because everything's working. All the body organs, the digestive system, everything connected, even right through to the brain, is functioning when it's trying to do the digestive process. So within 3 hours of stopping, within 3 hours of sleep, we give that our body systems overnight a chance to calm down, rest, and rejuvenate for the coming day. And you will feel so much better about it. So nutritionally wise, that's what we want to do.
And I want to say, I have tried to trick the system and eat before I go to bed. And I'm telling you, it's just not worth it because you're digesting your food. You get indigestion. You don't sleep well. Oh, you know all about it because I tell you.
I know about it.
So I'm learning my lesson.
Yeah. And very briefly, what are we trying to avoid? And this is the common sense ones. The sugary products, excess sugar, we really only need a little bit every day, and you can get it naturally through fruits and vegetables. Okay. And that's every day, like a carrot's got natural sugars in it. We don't need
to be adding. And a slice of onion.
A slice of
carbohydrates.
Avocados have, you know, those are carbohydrates. They have natural sugars in it. You know, we have some blueberries. There you go. So we don't want to add extra sugar, extra sugary products. Also processed. Anything that's called Frankenfoods, basically processed, made in a laboratory, we want to stay away from. If it's got an ingredient list that's more than one or two ingredients, then stay away from it because there's a whole bunch of stuff going on there. And really, that for us, what we teach is being gluten-free and dairy-free. You want to look at that individually. How does that work for each person? Some people are ultra gluten sensitive on up the celiacs where it can be deadly. Some have gluten sensitivity, some have a little, some have a lot. We need to look at that. Same thing with dairy. It affects people in many different ways. And again, what happens is most people say, oh, I don't have a problem with it. And my first question is, have you gone 30 days without it? Have you ever gone 30 days without dairy and then reincorporate it, see how you feel? Did you feel better? Did you feel worse? Do you know? Have you ever gone 30 days without gluten? And did you feel great or did you not? Did you notice the difference? That's the only way you're ever going to know.
Exactly. Yeah.
If you've done that.
Yeah.
Otherwise, if you say, oh, no, I got no problem. Well, do you know or not? Maybe there's a smoldering fire of inflammation going on and you don't know.
Yeah. Because the research has shown that dairy and gluten do cause inflammation.
Yes.
And memory problems.
Right.
So that's why you and I stay away from it because we don't need it. We feel better.
And we've done that. We've eliminated those for a certain period of time, like that 28 to 30 day, and felt amazing. And then when we reincorporated back in within 48 hours or so,
bloated,
we felt horrible.
Terrible so sleeping. Like, yeah, it affects my sleep.
I don't need that.
I don't need that.
I don't want to feel like, you know what? You know, junkie, shall I say? No, thank you. No. I like feeling good.
Yeah, I like feeling sharp and energetic and young and vibrant and just like, let's go until it's time to go to bed.
And I like having my brain functioning well, you know?
Yeah, I do too.
How would you like to feel a sense of clarity, focus, and mental sharpness that enables you to tackle any challenge with ease? Can you envision experiencing a better memory and recall, allowing you to easily remember important details, names, and events? What could you accomplish if your mental energy is always high, allowing you to stay alert and productive throughout the day without feeling mentally fatigued or foggy? How great would it feel when you experience better quality sleep, allowing your brain to rest and recharge, leading to increased productivity and creativity? Imagine feeling a sense of calmness and control, allowing you to manage stress and anxiety with ease giving you the confidence to handle any situation. Be honest with yourself. When was the last time you experienced an overall sense of well-being and satisfaction? You see, your brain health positively impacts all areas of your life, from work to relationships and personal growth. Just visualize how amazing it would feel to have optimal brain health and unlock your full potential. If you want to learn more, and I know you do, then check out the link in the show notes for the Optimizing Your Brain Health community. And we look forward to seeing you there. And now, back to the rest of the show.
Okay, so that was number two of our five daily habits for optimal brain health. Let me look. What do we have for number three? Let's go with stress management, because would you agree, my lovely dear, that for society just seems to get more and more stress upon it. There's just, you know, more and more pressure of the world. There's more and more things coming at us all the time.
Right.
That seems to build up. And that stress massively affects our brain health. How do you feel about that?
Where do I begin? Where do I begin, babe?
Yeah, well, give us a couple pointers about stress reduction.
Starting right from the beginning of the day. You and I hug each other for 20 seconds because we know that it releases this hormone called dopamine.
Beautiful.
Yeah. And we know that dopamine makes you happy. It makes you feel safe. So you and I hug for 20 seconds, maybe 30 sometimes.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe
I might go longer sometimes.
But that's one of the stress reduction. Hug something, be it your dog, your cat,
a tree.
Oh, a tree.
A tree. Yeah.
Yeah. Because you're going to get the energy from the tree. You'll see me hugging trees a lot in Instagram story and Facebook. So hug a tree.
Now, may I say, I can guarantee you there's somebody listening or watching going, well, that's just ridiculous.
It's not ridiculous.
Hug something's going to reduce my stress. Come on.
It will.
The research is there.
Yeah. I'm not pulling this out of thin air.
Yeah. I mean, it's so true. And there has been a saying around for decades, many, many years in medicine and different ways of medicine, saying hugs heal.
Yeah, they do.
You know,
they do. And I have so many doctors, conventional medical doctors, come to me and say, no way, that's not true. And I go, do you read? Do you read what's out there?
Yes.
Past your journal articles, are you reading all the other articles that are out there?
Yes.
Research-based.
Right.
That's my response for me to stay stress-free, because I can get riled up and feisty.
Yeah.
You guys, you need to do this, but that's up to them. That's for their decision.
So that's a great stress reduction tool is to...
Don't fight.
Hug with love.
Yeah, but don't also, So hug for 20 seconds, but also don't fight people. Just give them the information and then it's their burden to learn it.
Yeah.
You know, it's not your burden.
Right.
That's what I've learned how to do. Yeah.
All right. So you were talking about some stress reduction tools.
Laughter.
Start the morning. Laughter. Yes.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
So laugh.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
How did I get that?
So laughter.
Which we just did.
Yeah.
And I feel good.
Yeah. Well, you are smiling. You can't laugh and not smile. That's for sure.
Yeah, that's hard.
So your body doesn't know the difference between a fake laugh or a real laugh. All your body registers in the brain is that your diaphragm's going, ha, ha, up and down, up and down, up and down, up and down. And the only time your body's going up and down, up and down, up and down is when you're laughing. Ha, 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 ha. You know, it's that sharp, 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 sharp up and down of the diaphragm. And so that releases happy hormones. So there are times when you can be in the car, I'll be in the car, and I'll just go 10 seconds and laugh because I want to feel better. And that's a good stress reliever.
Yeah. Stress reduction laugh.
Who cares if the other person in the other car sees you laughing? They don't know what you're laughing. They don't know if you're fake laughing or if you're real laughing. And one of the other things is I like people to go onto YouTube and Google laughing zebras.
Or zebras.
Or zebras. Wherever you are in the world.
Zebras, yeah.
You will crack up watching the zebras.
And that's such a great tip, though. Very simple. I mean, imagine you're just having a really difficult day. I mean, things are just coming at you. You're stressed out. If you can, go on your phone, your computer, your laptop, wherever you are, and just go on the Google and Google laughing zebras or laughing hyenas or laughing animals.
Or laughing babies.
Or laughing babies or something like that. And let that just play for 30 seconds, 1 minute, 2 minutes. I challenge you to come out of that and still feel stressed.
Yeah.
Yes, you're still going to feel it. It hasn't gone away. But it's going to do something to you in your brain where you just kind of release a little bit and you almost go like, okay, yes, I can do this. All right, I feel better. Oh, that was fun. And then, you know, you just get a chuckle and a laugh and you've just tricked your brain into saying, actually, I'm okay. You told your brain, I'm okay. Mm-hmm. I can do this. I'm okay. Mm-hmm. And those very simple little things we can do. Mm-hmm.
And another thing that you can do is meditate on a passage. For me, I meditate on scripture. Like when I'm stressed out, I'll go. There's a scripture that says, "I trust in you, Lord, with all my heart, and I lean not on my own understanding.
Yeah,
in all of my ways,
yeah,
I acknowledge you, and you set my path straight.
Right.
I trust you, Lord." And that, oh my gosh, just saying that really brings me a lot of peace over and over again.
Yeah. And something like that, you know, prayer, meditation, I mean, if that's not your thing, then another way is having some affirmations where at some point of the day, maybe it's just not going well, or you need to start the day this way. Just like, you know, I am confident. I am strong. I am powerful. I feel great. I will have an amazing day. All those types of things. And if you need to say them in the middle of the day, just to get your brain kicked into the IMs, the IMs, the IMs, and not in a conceited way, just that brings you back up again.
Lifts you
up. Ready to deal with what's going on. Mm-hmm. You know, so.
That's right. That's a good one.
You know, whatever turns you on, however you do it, but you really need to have some tools to fall back on when you just start going down. Or those types of tools in the morning to set yourself up for the day. Because I know for me, back in the day when I was working as an executive chef, I would do the traditional, wake up, take my 3 minute shower, shave, boom, put a cup of coffee in my hand and out the door in the car, commute in, go blah, blah, right into it. And within half hour, my head was just banging, you know, from all the junk coming at me. I did not position myself for the day.
Ben, I know. And for me, I would get in the car with my cup of coffee and smoke a cigarette. Yes, I was a smoking doctor. And then after the cigarette was gone, I'd have my bag of Skittles.
Sugar.
That was my breakfast, coffee, cigarette, and Skittles. And away we go.
The early days of after all that training. Now I'm in the pressure of being in the cold face of dealing with patients and all day long.
Yeah,
because
so
that wasn't
course
really,
corrected.
And because for you, you know, even after 12 years of medical training, that wasn't taught.
Oh,
okay,
heck no.
Now that I'm out there, what's my stress reduction techniques?
No.
How do I set myself up? No, you didn't have that class. Wasn't there on that?
Heck no, it was like do whatever it takes.
Yeah, right. You were,
and I did,
but that wasn't serving you so well.
No, I wasn't.
But you know, we've course corrected.
Yeah,
and we've learned to do that.
Through the new medicine.
Yeah. Yes.
Yes.
Through the new medicine. All right. So on our 5 daily habits for optimal brain health, let's go into exercise next.
No, people don't want to talk about exercise.
I know.
Nobody likes to exercise. Well, I shouldn't say that. People don't prefer to exercise.
Yeah. Well, we don't.
No, I don't want to.
I mean, we exercise somehow every day, even if it's only walking. We do that every day, some kind of exercise every day, but I don't wake up saying I can hardly wait to get to a workout for 40 minutes and hit it hard. I know it's a priority and what I need to do. And the reason being, again, this is from this neck down as opposed to the whole body, understanding that, well, what's exercise got to do with brain health? Well, we now
know. That's a great question.
Right. because we now know, again, all the research is out there. It's there. You can look it up. But we now know that strong bones, strong muscles, strong leg muscles.
Thighs in particular, the quads, thigh, the quads, yeah.
Strong quads, mm-hmm. and the leg muscles correlate directly to strong brain health.
Right.
So strengthen the body, strengthen the legs, strengthen your muscles gives us strong brain health. There's a direct correlation.
Strong thighs, strong brain.
Right.
And wide waist, small brain. Yeah. I didn't do the research. That's just what came out.
There.
It's yeah. There. Hence the reason why Michael and I do 100 squats 5 days a week.
Yeah.
Because we know that strong thighs gives you strong brain health.
Yeah.
Improves your cognition. Do I like to do 100 squats a day, Monday through Friday? I promise you, I do not. But I like the result.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like to be able to get up sitting cross-legged on the floor without using my hands because my thighs are strong enough for me to lift myself up. Yeah.
And physically also, there's a couple of the things. Now, of course, we understand, most of society understands when we do exercise. And when we're talking exercise, I'm talking everything from gardening to walking to what's, you know, aerobic training where and maybe you're somebody who likes to jog or you walk fast or you do HIIT training or all these different types of training on up to also resistance training where you're using weights, you're working on your muscle strength and keeping your muscle tone. And when you do that, we understand that below the neck, then we also look better and feel better.
You sure do look better, Ben.
Thank you.
The stronger you get.
Yeah. We're more trim and more lean. That serves us well around our body. The other thing long-term is too, you need to understand we probably all heard about mature age, elderly people who fall, have a problem. They lose their stability.
Balance.
Their balance. Yeah. Lose their stability. They fall, they trip, they have accidents and break things. And then it kind of goes downhill from there because then they kind of stop moving or they can't anymore. And that's because they really most likely have not been working on their leg strength and they haven't been working. And that again goes to the brain to help keep us stable and keeps our balance in check. And so that's very important to understand that around this exercise too, is how we are going to function physically later on in life. So it's brain health, mental health, and physical health. It's all in one. So exercise is so, so important to keep the body moving, keep it going. So,
we even have our 98-year-old Mimi, my mother.
98-year young.
Oh, yeah, right. 98-year young Mimi doing 15 squats a day. I'm trying to get her up to 20, but, you know, got to love her and with patience. But she's doing 15 squats a day, and she's also lifting dumbbells, 2-pound dumbbells, you know, so she's proud of that.
Yeah.
Just to keep her independent.
Keep her independent, keep her able to be mobile, you know, so you're not just kind of walking and just falling over and crashing.
Oh, heavens, no,
And that's out there a lot.
Oh, it's terrible.
It's out there a lot, where people just struggle. So exercise so
rocks.
Important for everything. Brain health, physical health, mental health, all of it.
And it's so much fun. Yeah, it is, because the results are wonderful.
If you can see my face, and if you're seeing this on video, you know I'm going like,
I like the results on you.
I love
you
the results.
You love the results on me. So,
I love the results.
Yeah, it's not just for ourselves. It's also so that you and I can, and everybody else, stay active.
Yeah.
Yeah, instead of inactive.
Well, we have children. I mean, if you're a parent, a grandparent out there, or you know, if you have others that you love, the ones that you want to be with long term, then you need to exercise and keep yourself looking and feeling young so you can do things.
Yeah, you can if you want to.
I mean, who wants to be, you know, what, let's say 60, 65, 70, 75, and you can't do anything anymore because you haven't bothered doing the work.
No way.
You want to keep going.
That's not the life I envision.
No, there's no quality.
No.
And we're all about quality of life.
And it's a choice.
Yes.
Yes. It's a choice.
Okay. 5 daily habits for optimal brain health. Number 5. And this is so important. Again, this might be one where maybe we get some rolling eyes or in that, but it's really about having gratitude and a positive mindset. Gratitude for the day, the blessings of your day. Is that important?
Oh, yes. Because the happier you are about what you have, the more you get. You attract what you're thankful for.
Yeah.
And if you're thankful for having a lovely relationship and your health and a roof over your head and great relationships, then that attracts more to come in. That's just the law of attraction.
Yeah.
It's God's law. Yeah. Whatever you ask for, you will receive.
Yes.
If you believe.
Right.
But if you're thinking about negativeness, like my life sucks, and you know what? Your life will suck because more negative will come.
Right. Well, you've just told the brain that.
Yeah. And you'll attract what you think about.
And the brain hears what you say.
Yeah.
And if that's what you're saying, and even the simple gratitudes of just saying, hey, thank you for the hot water. I mean, if you are in a country and living somewhere where you've got running hot water, you've got water to drink, you've got a flush toilet, if you got any of those or some kind of a shelter where you live, then say thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's a lot of people in the world that don't have those things, or at least missing at least one or two or three of those things.
Mm-hmm.
We kind of forget that in society and we're just going about our day.
Mm-hmm.
And what I find is when I say, thank you for the hot water, I feel better. It actually uplifts me because I know I've been given a blessing. I know I'm putting out gratitude that it makes me feel good about it. It actually uplifts me when I say thank you, that I can go for a walk.
Well, it brings you awareness of the goodness in your life when you're saying it and thinking about it.
Yeah, and it feeds into a positive mindset. It feeds into your brain health.
Like my life is great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so that's why it's so important for brain health, because, you know, your brain needs to be feeling good about your life because it's going to control what's going on in the rest of you.
Mm-hmm.
I think we know, or it's out there, it's been there, the research has been there since many, many years, probably centuries now, that if we tell ourselves every day, I'm sickly, I just feel sick, I feel sick, I'm sickly, I feel sick, oh, I just always get sick, what's going to happen? You're going to get sick. Your brain controls what's going on.
It's unbelievable.
You know, I mean, it is, you know, putting that out there.
What you think about comes about.
Very true.
I think James Allen says, yeah.
As a man thinketh.
As a man thinketh, so is he.
What
you think about comes about.
Yeah.
That is so true.
And so as far as gratitude, blessings, mindset, positive mindset, I mean, we have to be aware of what we're saying because our brain only hears what we're saying. And then when it hears it, it will control what's going on in the rest of our life.
Absolutely.
So today we had a chat about 5 daily habits for optimal brain health. Just a quick recap. Habit number 1 is hydration, proper hydration, making sure we're getting good and hydrated. That will serve our brain health well. So we're not drooping.
No drooping.
And
no drooping on my chef.
And not mentally functioning well. Number 2, we tapped into nutrition, proper nutrition, having a good plant-based diet. Eating lifestyle that's KetoFlex 12-3, mildly ketogenic, and it's flexible. We have a good overnight fasting and no eating 3 hours before bedtime as often as we can. Sometimes it doesn't work that way. You might be, you know, whatever night you're out with friends and family. Okay, I'm saying we do our best to follow that as much as we can.
Yeah.
But stick with the live food.
Try. But look, sometimes it's just going to be a margarita and nachos kind of night. Okay? I mean, come on.
Yeah.
It's just an 80-20 rule you and I practice. Just, 80% of the time, we're like bang on.
I'd say 20, more 90-10.
Okay. Well, yes. But yeah, I agree. You're kind.
Yeah. But it's just that it can't be the norm.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I know. I just want people to know we're not perfect because we're not perfect.
Far from it.
No, we're very human.
Of course not.
Trust us. We're very human.
The other regular habit was stress management. I understand during the day, there's things we can do to reduce that stress.
laugh,
have some
hug.
Whether it's prayer, meditation, affirmations, whatever you need to get the brain functioning well for the day, set yourself up well for the day. And even during the day, have some mindset practices that can reduce that stress if you're really feeling it kind of closing in on you.
Yeah.
And have those set up for yourself.
Mm-hmm. Another one I wanted to add, you know, for something to think about for your mind is to reduce the stress is, I am safe and I am loved. I am safe and I am loved. That just, that calms me down sometimes.
Somebody might need that one.
Yeah.
And daily habit number four is...
the fun one.
Oh, exercise. Just to understand, you got to keep the body moving. It's not just about our physical health, but it's our brain health. Our brain also, you know, with that exercise, we're creating a better blood flow, better oxygen flow for the brain. And guess what? The brain needs it.
So let's go.
Let's go. Whether you like it or not, it's just the way it is.
So that means Monday morning, 100 squats. I'm watching.
Well, they might need to work up to that. So
okay.
Start where you can. Yeah, and then each week, add a couple more.
That's right. That's right.
Love and patience. Love and patience. And then number five, we talked about just having a blessing, gratitude, and a positive mindset. It will serve you well because your brain will be telling all the areas of your body, hey, we're all good. We're functioning well. We're glad to be here. We're blessed. And I have a great gratitude for the day and for who I am.
Yes.
Yes.
Very good.
All righty. That's a wrap for five daily habits for optimal brain health. Thanks for joining us today, whether it's audio or video. And we've had a great time chatting with you today.
Thank you so much for being here with us. Please go ahead and share this with others that you know would benefit from it. Okay?
Like, subscribe, and share.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Like, subscribe, and share. And until next time, remain unstoppable.
Yeah.
Yeah, let's go.
Right. Bye.
Love you. Bye-bye.
Hello, Chef Michael here. If you enjoyed today's episode, we would love it if you subscribe to the podcast and left us a review.